If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We've been studying Ephesians since December of last year. Paul, when he writes this, is in prison. Anytime you proclaim the Word of God in its true, plain, normal sense, the world will hate you. They imprisoned him. He pauses in this letter to write the Ephesians. He had spent 3 years at Ephesus working with these people. You remember when he got there, it was filled with idolatry. And when Paul moved in and preached the gospel, there was a reaction. Not only on the human level of people who reacted either favorably or unfavorably toward Paul, there was a reaction on the spiritual level. There was a tremendous encounter with the forces of evil when Paul walked in. We forget that there's an invisible realm that Paul will talk about that is very real and in great opposition to the preaching of God's word. Paul moved in, preached the word of God, and thousands became saved. So the fact that, remember what we said, they burned their magic books and everything that was being practiced. So effective was the gospel that, guess what? The economy tanked at Ephesus. Did you know that? They didn't want those idols anymore of Artemis and Diana that filled the bazaars in Ephesus. And so what do? To get the economy going, you got to get Paul. So he almost lost his life there from preaching the word of God. And as he writes them in prison, Paul sends this epistle, and there are two big pictures of this epistle. And I keep repeating, the call of the church, Ephesians 1 through 3. We have the highest calling. That is what we're going to be discussing. The call of God, who is taking a group out of this darkness, this evil world that fell in rebellion against God. And God is in the business of saving those whom He has chose, whom He has called in Christ Jesus. And then because He has called us and we have the highest calling, the second part of this epistle is the conduct of the church. If God has done this for us and given us the highest calling, it means then that Christians need to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And when we get there, how many Christians have ruined their testimony? Because it's cheap for people to talk the talk. True, genuine, born again believers, through the power of God's Spirit, need to walk the walk. We've been looking at this. We found out many different things. We found out in verses 3 through 14, there is not one verb in this passage. Do you know that? You say, well, I see them in there. They're in my Bible. They're not in the original. The main verb is missing. Blessed the God and Father. You know why Paul left out the main verb? To concentrate on the need of God's people to contemplate the salvation in Jesus Christ and to rivet that word blessed. God is to be blessed, to be thanked, to be praised for what He has done. And there are three things we said that God has done in this passage. Number one, in 3 through 6, God chose us. Now, that isn't controversial in Paul's day. Sure is today. Well, don't we have to believe, Pastor Dave? You bet. There's two sides of one coin. God sovereignly calls, and you are responsible to believe. How does that work out, Pastor Dave? I don't know. I leave it with God. But the emphasis here is on the fact that, listen, you're no accident. I want to keep repeating that. Today, if you look at everything that you're bombarded in the media, it will look like everything in this world happens by random chance, and we are at the mercy of untold, invisible forces. No, you're not. God has a plan, and it is a marvelous plan, and we may not understand this journey, but when this journey is over, God is going to be praised for everything He has done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Remember, that's because of the new covenant. When's the last time preachers started talking about Jesus inaugurating the new covenant? Moses is over. The Ten Commandments, over. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. In Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we have a new covenant where He gives us His Spirit and every spiritual blessing, and through the power of God's Spirit, we live a life that's pleasing to God. Then it says this, He chose us in Him, in Christ. Remember, everything that we're looking at this morning as we get back is because of God's sovereign working. He chose us. What did He choose us for? That we should be holy and blameless in love. The Bible says God is what? Therefore, His children must be those who act like that. But I am ashamed to be a Christian because I don't see often loving Christians. But He chose us, and that He is working on us to conform us to His image, which is marked specially by love. It says He predestined us for adoption. And that was last week. We looked at adoption. Remember, that's God's choice. We are now His sons and daughters. He chose us. Roman adoption was different than today. Through Roman adoption, they put a garment on the child that the father chose, and that child got full rights and everything that the father had. That child was given full rights, given to that child is what this means. He's adopted us. And it says all of this happened before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you something about the world I've been reading. They've been trying to figure out how big the universe is. Now, if you believe Genesis in the plain, normal understanding of Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God what? Said. Now, I take Genesis, I don't care what anybody does. There were no witnesses to what happened in creation except God Himself. No scientist was there, so nothing in the universe when it was created can be known empirically by science. They can't do it. Don't let them lie to you. When they tell you about things, about creation, scientists become philosophers in terms of creation. Why? They weren't there to observe. The essence of science is observe it. Observe it. Measure it. See if you can reproduce it. That means this. Science, when they speculate about how we got here, in all of the hogwash that they tell you, is philosophy, not science. But they dress it up in the garb, they put it in the dress of science and tell you that philosophy is science. Hogwash. Subvert the dominant paradigm. Question authority, especially the scientism of today. No one was there. God testifies. He said he spoke it into being. Now let me tell you what happened when God spoke it into being. They've been trying to figure out how big this universe is. This is the God that's planned you, purposed you. You think he can't accomplish his purposes? Well, let me tell you something about the fact that when he spoke the universe into being. They've been trying to figure out how big this universe is. With the Hubble and other telescopes, they've gotten an idea, at least what they can observe. Here you go, you ready? At least now with our present state of telescopes. And you know in 100 years they're going to have amazing telescopes. These guys are so arrogant because they think that they've arrived at knowing. Here it is. You ready? The diameter they think of the universe at this moment, it was just updated. Just updated in the last year. 94 billion light years. You have no idea how big that is. Now, light year. I didn't say years. 94.5 billion light years. What that means is this. It takes light 1 second. It will travel 186,000. I got to watch it because Mark's here to correct me. And he will. It takes light 8 minutes from the sun to us because it travels at 186,000 miles per second. So within 8 minutes, the sun, right now, if we would pause and wait 8 minutes, the light that left the sun right now would take 8 minutes for it to hit the earth. All right. Now what they're saying here is that the universe, they think, at least from what they can tell, is 94.5 billion light years. What does that mean, Pastor Dave? That means that if light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, which is approximately 6 trillion miles a year. You have no idea how much 6 trillion miles a year. So in other words, in 1 year, light would have traveled 6 trillion miles. By the way, you ever heard about derivatives in the country? Some of these banks owe 150 million in derivative, or $150 trillion in derivatives. Good luck with that. Anyway, let's not mix this up. It would take traveling 1 year, 6 trillion miles light would go from, take your flashlight tonight, point it in the sky, push the button, and watch that light go. Within 1 second, it's traveled 186,000 miles. That light beam, 186,000 miles in 1 second. And if you point it at a star, how many light years away are those stars? Now here, let's try to figure this out. It would take you, from what they can observe, traveling at the speed of light, 6 trillion miles a year, it would take you 94.5 billion years to traverse the diameter of what they think, these idiots think, is the size of the universe. It's unfathomable. It's beyond, honestly, that distance is beyond comprehension. What we're saying here this morning is the God who planned you, who knew all about you, who chose you for adoption, don't ever doubt him. He can speak that kind of universe by sheer thought. That's why you have to know, before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. You're a part of the plan. That's why I keep repeating, do not let these unbelieving people ever bother you? They don't know what they're talking about. Paul is saying here that the God who before the foundation of a 94.5 billion light years, that's 94.5 times 6 trillion, 94.5 billion times 6 trillion. Who's got a calculator? I don't even think it will go to that decimal place. It won't work. You'd have to have how many places on that calculator? Larger than the earth to figure that one out. He's given you every spiritual blessing. He chose you before the foundation of the world. His design is to make you holy and blameless in love. He predestined you for adoption. Listen to me. If the God who can speak the world like that into being, you can trust the foundation of His Word. But the question becomes, why? Okay, Pastor Dave, why? You know, that's the big question. I heard about a guy who was in a philosophy class. It was the final. And what the professor did was write, here's the final. One question. Went to the board. The professor says, here's the question I want you to discuss as your final in philosophy. And he put the word, why, on the board. Everybody began to write, but what really threw the whole group off was within 2 seconds of the professor writing the final one essay question for philosophy, all within 2 seconds of having written that, an individual with the blue book closed his blue book, dropped it off on the professor's desk and walked out. And everybody was totally freaked out. How could he answer such a question? Within 2 seconds of the professor putting it on the board. So one of the kids snuck up to look at what the guy had written. And in the blue book were just two words. Ready? You know it. Why not? He passed. The professor passed him. The question is always, philosophers asking, why? Why? Why did God speak into this universe, 94.5 billion light year universe? And I'll bet you, when they have more telescopes, I'll bet you it's a lot bigger than that. I'll bet you God's going to boggle their mind that a God with that power could just boom. And so everybody's been wondering, philosophers, I've had to write something in this thing, it's all these crazy philosophers are writing on why? Do you know that three times the writer here, Paul, tells you why? Why you're here? Why did he build this universe? Why did he give us every spiritual blessing? Why did he choose us? Why did he predestine us? Why has he adopted us? Why? The answer has been here three times. No one notices because preachers don't preach the Word of God now. They want to tell you, well, if you'll just give to my organization, you'll get 1,000-fold back. Bunch of crooks. Three times. You want to know why God made a universe like this? You want to know why the power of God was displayed? You want to know why God is to be praised? Well, here it goes. See if you can find it. It occurs three times in this, in these through verse 14. Are you ready? Verse 6. Why did God do it? To the praise of the glory of His grace. What's that saying? God did this because He gets glory in doing. Don't you think a God that can speak a 94.5 billion light year universe should deserve praise to be able to do that? He did it. Why? He gets glory from it. Who's He getting glory from? Everything that He created. Now, we can't take glory. Why? Because we're fallen, sinful creatures. pride comes with us, but God can display His glory and do these things. He gets the glory, the honor, and the whole universe cries out in praise for what He can do. That's why God did it. That's why a Christian is safe and secure in Christ. God gets the glory. That's why all of these things can happen. To the praise of the glory of His grace, His unmerited favor that He's going to lavish and has lavished you with. We go to verse 12. To the end that we who were the first hope in Christ should be what? To the praise of His glory. Next. Verse 14. Who has given us as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Why? Here is the simple reason why God did it all. He brings glory to Himself. That is it. The glory of God is the greatest goal and purpose. Now, a philosopher wouldn't accept that. I'll bet you if that kid was in a class and was a Christian, I know what that, having done something I've been working on, having looked at, he walked in and they said, why? And he put to the praise of God's glory, he would have flunked. He could put, why not? Sort of as a retort to the professor and pass. But here is what the Bible said. Everything that God is doing is for His praise and glory. Now look, let's look at this world. We all know there's a lot of suffering. We've seen these crazy people. All there are wars. All there are people killing each other. Saturday night, we see all these things, but we know one thing. I don't know how this is going to work. I know this world is crazy. It's dominated by satanic, Luciferian forces. But the power of God is such, get this now, that in spite of all of the evil, that even with that, it's going to work out for the complete, entire glory of God. Say, preacher, I can't figure that out. I can't either. I don't know how. But listen to me. If you can speak a world into being by merely thought, why should that be a problem for you that in all of the things that we see in this universe, God is going to get when we are on the other side in Jesus' kingdom, we're going to turn around and see the glory of God in ways that are absolutely unfathomably imaginable on this side for us. To the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory, due to the kind intention of His will. God reminds us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. There is why. No philosopher will accept it. They don't recognize God. They think they're wise. Paul said, professing to be wise, they become what? Oh, I read some philosophy books this week. Trust me. I'm into postmodernistic historiography. Trust me, Heidegger and Nietzsche, existentialistic, everything is irrational. Well, if everything is irrational, how then can you say that everything is irrational since all is irrational? You can't say that because even you're saying it's all irrational is irrational. Self-defeating. But they start whole universities in Paris over this stuff. It's good to get back to the Word of God. You know that? After I read all of this stuff, I'm sitting there and going, getting a headache from it. I'm reading this and I'm going, what do I do? And I have to sit there and read paragraphs three or four times going, what is this guy saying? And these are the guys they worship in. You can't even, hey, by the way, today you can't even write history according to these people. Because words have no meaning in themselves. You apply whatever meaning you want. All of this, I don't even. Nietzsche said, all history is interpretation, meaning that's your opinion. George Washington chopped down the cherry tree? That's your opinion. Hey, the Word of God makes this so much simpler. You know why God did this? Why God's going to do it? Listen to me. God's purposes cannot fail because He's done this. Ready now? For His glory. That means this. Christians are safe and secure. God will do everything He promised. Because the power of this God is beyond our ability to even comprehend. And He's going to get glory in everything He does. Now, I've asked Mark a long time ago to come up briefly.
Really?
Briefly. Now, let me introduce Mark. Mark is our resident crazed scientist who discovered soft tissue in bones that were 65 million years old. And it had a date on those bones right there, 65 million. And he's going to tell you about the foundation of the world real quick, 2 minutes, and then we'll get back to Ephesians. Go ahead, Mark. I think he just told me off in Spanish, but I'm not sure.
I didn't think this was going to happen today, so be patient with me. I did write notes here because I was intrigued. You know me as a creationist. You know that I accept the Word of God when it says He spoke everything into existence. I believe that. And there's good science to support that. But this word foundation really intrigued me. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And I thought, does that have something to do with our world and what it's resting on? You know, my brain goes after this kind of stuff. I'm always very curious about actual history versus evolutionary history. And Dave has said so clearly today how evolutionary history is a lie. But there's an actual history that is our heritage. The actual history of God speaking the universe into existence, saying, let there be light, and there was light. Saying, you know, let the dry ground appear, and the earth formed. And then speaking all organisms into existence, except for who, class? Mankind. Adam was made from a dirt ball. Okay, fathers, do you feel like a dirt ball today? Well, you are. You are. And keep that attitude, fathers. You're just a dirt ball. But I wanted to explore this more. If foundation of the world is actual history, then isn't that important? I mean, if God spoke light into existence, isn't that actual history? Didn't that actually happen? If God spoke the expansion, as Dave was talking about, into existence, isn't that actual history? Isn't that important? So we need to understand our heritage, our real history. So here's point number one, and I'll try to go fast, I promise. Point number one, real history changes everything. The way we live, the way we think, the way we deal with others. If actual history, now stay with me here. If actual history is Adam and Eve in the garden, the entrance of sin, their banishment from the perfect garden, and then the flood, then I want to know it and I want to accept it. Why? Because it's actual history. It's my heritage as history. You with me so far? Okay. Once you accept it as real history, it changes you. You are worth a lot. We're worth a lot. That's what Dave has been saying. We're worth a lot. And so is everybody. So your view now of everybody changes, doesn't it? Even the person that cuts you off in traffic, that person's worth a lot. Even the person that fires you from a state university after you publish a science paper in a real journal. You know, I prayed for that guy this morning. I prayed for his soul, that he would be saved as a result of this. That person's worth a lot. Now, contrast that with the evolutionary story. The descent of organisms over deep time, death and destruction over billions of years. Essentially, you're worthless. Do you see how history changes everything? If your history is evolutionary history, you're not worth anything. But if your history is biblical history, you're worth a lot. You're worth a lot. And so is everybody. And so we look at our world. Why not accept it when a grown man who identifies himself as a little girl wants to go into the little girl's room in the bathroom when all the little girls are in there? Why not accept that? Do you see where it leads? If your evolutionary history makes you whatever you want to be, why not? As Dave was saying, then a grown man who thinks he's a little girl, let him into the little girl's bathroom. I saw a really neat sticker the other day. It said, Kennedy put a man on the moon. Obama put a man in your little girl's bathroom. So I ask myself, when I read this, the foundation of the world, is this figurative language, God? Or is this deceptive language? Or is it real history? I believe it's real history. So I looked up the word foundation in the Greek. Now, this is your territory.
Katabole.
Thank you. Katabole. A laying down or a casting according to a blueprint based on an original design. Now, listen to this definition again. Katabole means a laying down or a casting. Picture making a cast. According to a blueprint based on an original design. That is specific language, isn't it? So when God says, before the foundation of the world, before I cast something based on a blueprint and based on a design that the world is standing on, it gives you that figurative picture, doesn't it? This is used 11 times in the New Testament. We don't have time to look at it. But basically, here's another definition. The substructure, which determines the entire direction and destination of all that is put on it. Now, Dave has stood up, so that means I'm done.
I don't know why they're applauding.
But I have two more pages, page and a half, so next week I'll see you again. Thank you.
Why do we bring this out? It means this. None of what you're hearing on major news media has any reality. God purposed. And the goal of all of this is that God will be praised for His glorious grace. And I know strange things happen in this world, and it makes Christians wonder at times, but listen to me. God's word is very clear. Three times Paul says it, verse 6, verse 12, verse 14. God has a plan. You're a part of that plan. You're valuable. And this will work out even when we can't see it, to the absolute glorious praise of God's wondrous grace when we look back in eternity and we see this is a school that we're in to learn so that when we graduate and we're with the Lord, we will fully understand His glorious grace.